I'll go earn mine. It'll make me appreciate it more.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today, we are looking back at the 12 games in the NBA for Wednesday, giving some updates on some injury news and then previewing three games for Thursday. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed. The first game of the day was a blowout. The Detroit Pistons beat the Kings 127-106. Sacramento was without Marvin Bagley. A couple of games ago, he had a sore foot. He played the next game, and now he's out again with a sore foot. This foot's been bothering him all season pretty clearly. This is a bloke who had multiple knee injuries last season, now multiple foot injuries. That is never something that you want to hear. None of them have been serious, or massively serious, but that is never anything that you want to hear from a big man, a 6'11" center who thinks he's a power forward, putting up or getting those sort of injuries, which is a not ideal thing. Nemanja Bjelica, though, with Holmes sideline, with Bagley now hurt, he remains a must-roster guy. I talked about him on the Sal High podcast today, that all of his productions come with at least one of those guys out. Now both of them are out. When they come back, he's going to be minimized. But for now, 14-9-5 was great. How about The Undertaker? Big game from Dwayne Dedmon. He got the spot start in place of Bagley, not Harry Giles this time. 13-10 in 31 minutes. Now, he's a guy that could get traded, no doubt about that. But what team out there is looking for a starting center that's going to be willing to give up something to get Dedmon? You could say the Dallas Mavericks with the Dwight Powell injury. That is a distinct possibility. And if he played 28 minutes a night there, then maybe he would be a 12-team league guy. Even if he went to Dallas, I think he'd be more in the 24 minutes sort of zone, and they'd push more of those minutes into Kleber. But that is a possibility. But outside of that, I don't really see what team is taking Dedmon on to put him into a starter's role. Kent Bazemore made his debut for the Kings, only 16 minutes, while Bogdan Bogdanovic played 26 minutes in the blowout. And considering Hield and Fox just played 29 and 30 minutes between them, getting 26 out of Bogdan's a pretty good sign. That's fewer minutes for Bazemore than what Ariza would normally get, and that's again a great sign for Bogdan. 19 points with 3 triples, while Hield was pretty poor early on, ended with 14, 4 and 5. And Fox, who'd been rolling, wasn't quite at his best, 22, 3 and 3. Of course, the pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. Why is he rostered in so many leagues? This makes no sense. He is not a 12-team league guy. He wasn't a 12-team league guy at the beginning of the season. He's not a 12-team league guy now. I don't know why this is hard to figure out. 8 points in 35 minutes. And it will get worse somehow when those other guys return. As for Bazemore, 7 points in his 16 minutes, just a deeper league guy for the Pistons. Things got interesting because the big avocado, Andre Drummond, was out, as was the shark, Bruce Brown, but Reggie Jackson came back. And before you all get excited, before you grab both of your hands and wrap them firmly around your dicks, this is not what we expect from Reggie Jackson. Clearly, 22 points in 19 minutes, a true shooting of 72% and a usage of 38%. Though none of those things will happen again this season. Reggie Jackson is a middling 14-team league point guard with a history of injuries on a team that now has Derrick Rose leading them and that was without Drummond, Brown, and Kennard. All guys, especially Kennard and Brown, who will eat into some of his playing time. Now, Jackson could find himself in a 25-minute role. Sure. He's had a 25 or 28-minute role in the past, and nobody's ever been excited about him in fantasy. So the one thing I'd be doing is in a 12-team league, if someone goes and adds Jackson, see who they drop. That's probably where you're going to get the most value, because there will be a lot of overreactions to this. And it's great if you could wind the clock back 24 hours, you'd add Jackson, and you'd get this game, and you go, look at me, genius. But chasing it after it happens, it's just not going to happen again. I guarantee you, a line like this will not happen again. He will not have a 70-plus true shooting on a 37-plus usage in any game again this season. And if I do, roast the shit out of me. Or if he does, roast me. I don't care. It won't happen. Anyway, Derrick Rose, 22, 6, and 11 in 30 minutes. That's the guy that's taking the Reggie Jackson minutes. How about the crucifix? Christian Wood, 23 points, 7 of 7 shooting, 25 minutes. We know when he gets minutes, he will put up numbers. This has never been in debate. They started Thon Maker ahead of him. Now, Wood was always going to get more minutes, but he was always going to come off the bench. It gives you an indication, I guess, what could happen if the Big Avocado does get traded. You've only got a couple of weeks to go to the trade deadline. Hold on to Wood, see what happens. But if Drummond remains there, Wood is not going to be a 12-team league guy. I think we've seen that. If he plays 16 a night, there's just not enough there. 23 a night? Sure, absolutely. As for McCare, he got a double-double with two blocks. Nice, but nothing exciting. While Sekou Doumbouya benched for disciplinary reasons because he was late to shoot around, so he played 21 minutes and Markieff Morris played 27. Now, Markieff had a double-double, an inefficient double-double, but he had one nonetheless. I think Sekou goes back to starting next game, but he was trending towards being a drop anyway, especially for 10-teamers, and even in 12s, I'd consider him a fringe guy. It depends who you're looking to add. If it's Reggie Jackson, that's a no, but there might be someone else that you're looking to add off the waiver wire that might be a better option than Sekou. His performances were trending in that direction, regardless of this one-game benching that we did see happen here. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your shortlist of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job post so that you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at indeed.com/lockedon and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's indeed.com/lockedon. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. Let's move on now to the next game, the second game of the day. We're looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Orlando Magic. Not as much fantasy takeaway to come out of this game. 18 and 12 from Shea with 3 steals and 3 blocks. That is monster from him. While Schroeder had 31 with 9 assists. Dennis Schroeder, I think there's a decent chance he gets traded. Not going to reveal whether he's on my players to get traded list on tomorrow's show. But 31 and 9, 72%. There is some sell highness with him. 19 and 6 with Chrissy Paul while Stephen Adams was out. So we got 30 Nerlens Noel minutes. He had 14 and 7 with 1 steal and 2 blocks. Now, let me give it to you this way. I don't think Stephen Adams is getting traded. But that also doesn't have any impact on whether Nerlens Noel should be on a 12-team roster, because he should be. It doesn't matter. If Adams is traded, it's an actual massive bonus. But it doesn't matter. So you make sure he's not on a waiver wire, and then you ride it out. The Moose, Mike Muscala, had 14 points with 4 triples in his 18 minutes. He pushed into the Noel role. While the Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari,
hands off my cock.
He was on my sell high list before this game and then had 12 points on 36% shooting. Some of that production was also always going to fall, and it did here. While Dort had 6 points in 26 minutes, fulfilling his Terrence Ferguson role to a T. For the Magic, Vucevic, 24 and 11 with 5 assists and 3 steals. He's really, really good. While Terry Ross is an absolute 12-team league option. 26 points in 29 minutes, taking all the shots on the bench. 5 triples, 2 steals, 16 shot attempts. Absolutely a 12-team league guy. While Fultz hurt his finger early, but came back, played 32 minutes, had 11, 5, and 6. That's a solid enough night. In a 16-teamer, I'd look at Mick Carter-Williams. 15 points, triple one, 19 minutes. He can get assists, he can rebound, he can get steals, he can get blocks. The shooting could be rough, but he's going to have a role. While Fournier and Aaron Gordon both struggled a bit. I think in a 10-teamer, Gordon's a drop, and he's not far off. He's pretty bloody close, to be honest. And in some situations, on a really strong team, Gordon wouldn't be a 12-team must-roster guy, in my opinion. They went back to a Wundu over Birch, but it doesn't matter which one of those guys starts. Neither of them is going to have really any fantasy value, and it looks like they're just going to go back and forward and back and forward continually for this team for the rest of the season. That's what it appears like. Anyway, let us go on to the next one. We're looking at the Philadelphia 76ers and the Toronto Raptors. Early in this game, Joshie Richardson looked like he pinged a hammy. He had 6 games missed at the beginning of the season with hamstring tightness. Now he's got a hamstring strain. You'd have to imagine there's a risk that he's out until the All-Star break. At least 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, and that 2 weeks pushes right up to the edge of the All-Star break. So that's not good for him. That means more minutes for the painter Matisse Thybulle. Again, a 12-team guy. If you want steals and blocks, and if you want nothing else, don't worry about it. He did at least hit some threes here because he's been shooting about 2% on threes since returning from his injury. Had 3 triples here. While Furky from Turkey, Furkan Korkmaz, has had 17 points with 4 triples, had 2 blocks. We've seen him start before though. It wasn't pretty, but he's always an opportunity to get points, to get threes, a worse version of Terrence Ross, if you will. So that, you know, I'd prioritize them in that sort of an order if I'm looking for those stats. But it's a big opportunity that could be opening up here. Benny Simmons had 17, 8 assists, 10 rebounds and 2 steals, while Toby Harris, 22, 6 and 4. It wasn't a good Al Horford night, but 10 rebounds and 7 assists to go with 7 points is not bad. In deeper leagues, I'd also look at Big Shake Milton, who had 9 points in 23 minutes, 3 triples. He played well to begin this season and then got hurt and then sort of lost his way and lost his place in the rotation. So it will be interesting to see what they do with him if Richardson, as expected, has to miss time. For the Raptors, Mark Gasol.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Since he's come back from his hamstring injury, he's been unbelievable. He hit all 7 shots, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. While he's rolling like that, while he's actually not afraid to take shots and can hit a 2-pointer at more than 20%, he's got 12-team value. We also had a good game from Ibaka, who had 16 and 7. If you can sell him for anything in the top 100, I would 100% do that. He, to me, is not a must-roster 12-team league guy. While Stormer Norman Powell, 18 points, 8 rebounds, jack shit else, but hit them with efficiency, which is the key to his value. He should be a 12-team league guy. And the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
So many people gave me shit at the beginning of this month for saying that he was a droppable guy. He's a droppable guy. It's pretty clear. 0 points, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 0 of 3 shooting. Everyone's back. It's just not. It's not going to happen for him. It's just not. And I love OG. It's just not worth having him in a 12-teamer. Well, Siakam, still a bit of a buy low. 35% shooting. The efficiency's been rough since coming back from his groin problem. 18 and 15 here. Only the one steal as well. A lot of the concerns I had for him preseason, that, you know, ramping it up offensively, would it hit the efficiency? Would it hit the defensive stats? And that's sort of what's happening now after the groin injury. But still, what he's doing now is outside top 50. So there is some definite buy low value in him. While Lowry had 16 points in 35 minutes. And again, anytime you get out of a game with under 40 minutes from Lowry, you should feel pretty bloody lucky with it. Next game, we look at an upset victory from the Atlanta Hawks over the Clippers. 102-95. Of course, the Clippers were missing Patrick Beverley, Paul George, and the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard. They rolled out a starting lineup that had Terrence Mann and Landry Shamet in it, alongside Lou Williams, Mo Harkless, and Ivica Zubats. Obviously that's pretty rough. Williams had 18, 6, and 7, while Montrezl Harrell had 30 and 7 with 3 blocks. Good game from Harrell, rough from the free throw line, and his overall ranking recently is absolutely in the shitter, and that's mainly because of the free throws. Ivica Zubats was great. I think Doc Rivers makes some questionable coaching decisions, and part of the reason, you know, I worry about that center position is this: just, you know, Harrell does one thing and then he's rough on the other end. Then Zubats comes out and plays well, but he limits them offensively, and especially on games where guys are injured, like George and Leonard here, it makes it harder to play Zubats, even though you could easily make arguments that he is a superior player in multiple aspects of the game. Overall, it's still Harrell. But Zubats is still really good. He just gets really limited here. 11 and 6 in 15 minutes. Just absolutely someone to watch, depending on what shenanigans go down at the trade deadline. Shamet had another 2 triples. That's what he's providing. While everyone's hurt, there's value in him in that area. While Mann had 1 point in 15 minutes. Remember when he was the flavor of preseason? Good times. On to the Hawks. No Trae Young. He was out with a thigh injury, so the Baptist Johnny Collins, he went, all right, let's go. 36 minutes, 33 and 16, 3 steals and a block, big minutes. Big efficiency, big game in general. While Jeff Teague started for your mate, Trey.
My name is Jeff.
He was what you'd call shit for 3 points in 25 minutes. Now, he did have 4 fouls in that time, so that impacted him. The 8 assists are still nice. I cannot see him as a 12-team league. I just can't. He was outplayed by Brandon Goodwin in this one, who had 19 in 20 minutes with 3 triples and 3 assists. And I'd much rather them develop Goodwin, but who knows. Fanta Pants, Kevin Huerter, 36 minutes, 12 and 7, 2 triples, 3 assists and a steal. Still a 12-team league hold to me, while Alex Len returned and had 7 and 7. That pushed Damo Jones out of the rotation. While I was starting to give some praise to DeAndre Hunter, he had 8 points on 16 shots with 4 rebounds and 1 assist. He is not a top 200 player. That makes him barely a 16-team league guy. Barely. And even not if. I still probably have him in 14s, but man, the rough ones are real rough. While Reddish had 10 and 8, and when he doesn't hit threes and when he doesn't get steals, his fantasy value is pretty much in the toilet. Do not consider him anything more than a streamer option for your standard fantasy leagues. And even then, that might be a little bit of a stretch. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics with a comfortable victory here. On to Memphis. Jonas Valanciunas was great again. 16 and 13 with 2 steals and a block. Minutes back up. While Triple J had one of the best blocks you'll ever see. Gordon Hayward just starts shooting from outside three. Jackson runs from behind and blocks it and steals it sort of in the same motion. It's weird. I retweeted it from World Wide Wob today, so you can go and check that out. It was a nonsense block. 13 points, 3 triples, and 4 blocks for Triple J. D'Anthony Melton, the wave pool, he had 8 points with 3 assists and a steal and a block. 22 minutes. Again, he is the capped upside bloke who, if he played 30, he'd smash the top 60, but he'll never play 30, and that's the concern. Well, just when I was getting onto it, guys, I was there. I was right on the precipice. My foot was right on the step up to get onto the Dylan Brooks bandwagon, and he has 6 points in 19 minutes. The old...
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Now, he'd been playing so well. He'd been consistent. The shot was up, but I did stress that if the shot disappears... he's got nothing to back it up. And that's exactly what happened here. He was really rough in this one. Brandon Clarke had 9 points in 23 minutes. Well, the actual sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
He was somehow worse than Dylan Brooks, Jay Crowder was. 3 points and 6 rebounds in 18 minutes. He is woofing it up in a real big way at the moment. For the Celtics, they did have Jason Tatum go down with a groin injury. They said after the game, they don't think it's too bad, but he is having an MRI. There are a couple of ways you can look at this. They were so far up against Memphis that there was no need for him to come back. He came back and sat on the bench, which was fine. Didn't look like he was limping. Didn't look like he was in pain, but it's a groin injury. Like, why screw around with it? I think he's going to miss time here. They've already got Jaylen Brown, who's missed the last couple, although Brown is in line to return against Orlando. He's going to travel with the team. But Tatum being out gives that extra boost to Marcus Smart, and then more minutes are going to go to guys who have zero fantasy impact, like Semi Ojeleye and Grant Williams. Enes Kanter also hurt his foot at the end of the game. Only played the 19 minutes. Had 13 and 8, but again, that's not really a 12-team league type of a guy. He's calling himself questionable for Friday's game as well. That's going to give Vanilla Tice some value. 19 minutes here for Tice. Not great minutes, but 14 and 4, 3 triples, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. He almost had a Chris Gayle. And if you don't know what a Chris Gayle is, that's the evolution of the Richie Benno. That's the 3 steals, 3 blocks, and 3 triples, which never really happens at all. But Tice almost got it. He's absolutely a 14-team league guy. Well, Kemba, man, he is rough at the moment. 8 points, 2 triples. Actually, Kemba, you know what? Thank you.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
He had a Richie, which is amazing, but only 8 points on 22.2% shooting.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
Yeah, it's rough from Kemba. He is a bit of a buy low, while Smart had 12, 6, and 6 in his 29 minutes. The next game was the Lakers, and it was the Knicks. They took each other on. The Lakers get the win, 100-92 in the end. 30 minutes for Tone Davis, 28, 5, and 5 with 2 blocks. He's good. LeBron had 21, 6, and 5 with 5 steals. Also good.
LeBron James.
Kuzma had 10 and 7 in 28 minutes. He actually blocked 2 shots, so that's solid, but still rostered in way too many leagues, and he's more of a 14-team league guy. While Dwight Howard, 27 minutes for Dwight. Now, some of that is because Davis's minutes are still low, but as a shot-blocking rebounder specialist stream guy, there is marginal 12-team value. He's not for everybody, and he's still rostered in way too many leagues because there's not that many teams that need that sort of specialist contribution. But he's got enough to be at least there for some teams. Rondo had 8 points in 18 minutes. Well, Danny Green, JaVale McGee, Avery Bradley. Those three all started and played under 20 minutes a game. For the Knicks, Alfred Payton, only 8 points, but 6 boards, 9 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 12-team guy. Marcus Morris, 20 points. Sure, well done. Julius Randle, not great from him. 16, 8, and 6. Poor efficiency. It's a tough matchup against the Lakers big, so I'll grant him that one. Or Damo Dotson outplayed both Reggie Bullock and Kevin Knox. 27 minutes for Dotson, 17 points with 5 threes. I think the Knicks have given up on Knox, and I don't blame him because he's not good, but give him a little bit more rope than this. As for Dotto, he was out of the rotation literally two games ago for Alonzo Trier to play that one game, whatever that was. Dotson, again, it's just very, very deep league stuff. Well, Bullock, just the 5 points in his 21 minutes. Also good to see Dennis Smith at least play. He's, man, what an afterthought that bloke is. I thought he was going to be a good NBA player. Turns out I was very, very wrong on that one. Let's move into the next game. That is an overtime contest between the Washington Wizards and the Miami Heat. The Heat get the win in the end, 134-129. 38 minutes for Beal. That's 5 overtime minutes, 33 regulation minutes, 38, 9, and 5. Great. Davis Bertans, for everyone panicking, good to get him back on track. But yeah, not much else happening there apart from the scoring. 24 points with 4 triples. Well, Yan Mahimi played 35 minutes, 10 and 10 with 4 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Someone said to me, I'm not sure where it was, it might have been in the YouTube comments, Josh, with Bryant, they're just ramping his minutes up. They're gradually increasing each game as he comes back from a foot injury. Well, he played only 17 minutes in this one after 22 in the last game, and Brooks does not like him. I am pretty convinced that that's the case, and he really values the fact that Mahinmi can defend and Brooks cannot. And that makes me really worried for the rest of the season value for Bryant. Now, I thought Mahinmi, I remember getting into an argument with someone in the preseason, and someone told me, no, the Wizards are just going to, someone told me the Wizards were just going to cut Jan Mahinmi so they could keep Justin Anderson on the roster. Oh, no, not Justin Anderson. Who was it? Oh, I wish I could remember. It was that guy from the, a guy from the Lakers who, Jamario Jones, that's who it was. Now, they're just going to waive Mahinmi. They're going to eat his $16 million salary so they can keep Jamario Jones on the roster. Cool. I didn't think Mahinmi would play actually a big role this season, but the fact that Bryant doesn't defend and nobody else on this team defends and Mahinmi does, yeah, Brooks is drawn to that, clearly. And while that doesn't make Mahinmi much of an ad outside of like 16-team leagues, it's really putting Bryant's 12-team value into real question here, and I'm not sure it's going to be there. Jordy McRae played 34 minutes. Gary Payton, he's done. His rotation minutes are going to be gone real soon. Same as Troy Brown, who is an absolute clear 12-team drop. 9 points in 20 minutes for Brownie. And Ish Smith stunk it up, 7 points in 28. For the Miami Heat, Spo benched the starters in the third quarter after about 7 minutes or 6 minutes. And that's why you see some weird minutes here. Just 16 minutes for the Spur, Dunk Robinson. But hey, he did his job. Hit 4 threes. That's exactly, and literally the only reason why you have him is to get 4 threes. Myers Leonard played only 14 minutes. Those guys were the biggest hit. Kendrick Nunn only played 26 minutes and had 14 points. I talked about him as a sell high today as well. I still maintain that. And that's why we get big minutes here for Tyler Hero, who had 25 with 7 triples. Big minutes for James Johnson, who played 29 minutes and hit the shot to go into overtime. 7 points with 2 blocks for Jimmy, who's just like a 16-team league guy, and this is a little bit of elevated production. 30 minutes from the Iron Shoulder Goran Dragic, who had 22, 6, and 10. Who is just a consistently frustrating bloke who looks like a great 12-teamer one game and then not a 12-team guy the next day. He's sort of an in-and-out sort of a player who I'd have over Hero. And, yeah, pretty close to Nunn. I probably still have Nunn over him. But this is the concern with Nunn, is that when these other guys get minutes, like, he just loses out. And that's what I've constantly stressed with him. Bam Adebayo wasn't good. 6-8 in his 34 minutes, while Butler had 24, 7, and 10. Pretty strong game from Jim, especially with the free throw percentage absolutely cranking for you. On to your next one. It is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They lost to the Chicago... No, it's not the Minnesota Timberwolves. My mistake. It is the Houston Rockets and the Denver Nuggets. All right, so the Rockets get the win over the depleted Nuggets. 121-105. The Nuggets were without Gary Harris, Paul Millsap, Jamal Murray, Mason Plumlee, and then Michael Porter Jr. as well with his back tightening up. That is obviously not great news for a bloke that missed 2 years with a back injury. Hopefully nothing too serious there, but we want to just wait and see how that pans out. So the starting lineup was the same as what we've seen. Monty Morris, Fartin Will Barton, Torrey Craig, Nikola Jokic, Big Chungus, and Jeremy Grant, but the bench was very, very different. Grant played some backup center minutes, and while these guys are all out, he is a 12-team stream, especially now with Plumlee out, 17-7, 3 steals, 2 blocks, and with Porter out as well, while Jokic had a triple-double, 19, 12, and 10. Torrey Craig did well. 2 steals and 2 blocks with 14 points. That's an unrealistic expectation, just a deeper league guy. While Monty Morris, 3 steals and 11 points, far from a must-roster 12-team league guy, but there is something there at least. While Barton looks still to be bothered by the illness, 8 points in 38 minutes with 6 assists and 2 steals. Off the bench, Malik Beasley played a big role, didn't do anything. 12 points, 0 rebounds, 1 assist. And one of the reasons I worry about him as a fantasy option, even if he gets traded somewhere and he starts and plays 30, he doesn't do anything. He's like Dylan Brooks. Like, he scores, and what else does he do? And that can have value, especially if he does it efficiently. But rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, they're all so, so low for Beasley. And that is why he doesn't profile as a big fantasy beast. PJ Dozier was good as well. 15 points in 21 minutes. He's got some deep league value. For the Rockets, Westbrook was fantastic. 28, 16, and 8. 4 steals and a block. You'd think he was playing against the Thunder. He put up such a big line in this one. 44% from the field and 86% from the line, which is fantastic. While Eric Gordon went bananas. 25 with 6 triples. Very much the Beasley case as well. Nothing else. And if he doesn't shoot at 73%, what's he giving you? Fine as a points and 3 streamer. I'd rather Terrence Ross. He's more of a 14-team league guy. While Harden had 27, 5, and 5. Still not great, but pretty good. I say not great. Of course it's great. It's not great for him. 14 and 11 for Clint Capela, while Ben McLemore was terrible. 2 points in 18 minutes, and Dan House, not much better. 2 points in 25 minutes. Neither of those guys should be even sniffing your 12-team league's ass crack. Not even close to it. 14 teams, maybe. That is about it for those guys. The next game, that we do take a look at here, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls get the win, 117-110. Townsy dropped in 40 points, low rebounds and no defensive numbers, but still elite percentages and a big game. While Shabazz Napier had one of his best games ever, 16-7-5 with two steals for Shabazz. 83% shooting is not going to stick. Look at him more as an assist streamer who may not even be a starting guy post-trade deadline. That's a real possibility for Shabazz, but he's got some 12-team value over, say, a Monty Morris. Andy Wiggins had 25, but most importantly, 9 assists from Wigo. The 53% shooting is good. The 1 of 6 from the line is troubling, but the fact that he has now got 20 assists in his last two games is really, really good. While Bob Covington, that's two shit ones in a row, and I did worry about what would happen to him when Towns has come back. It hasn't been good so far. Let's see what happens. But it hasn't been good returns so far. 9-7 for Covington in 31 minutes. While Culver, it's even been worse for him since Towns has returned. 3 points in 25. This is back to the bullshit at the beginning of the season. 20% from the field, 0% from the line, 2 assists, 1 rebound. If this continues, then he's an absolute clear must drop. But for now, I'll just hold. It is absolutely going in reverse, though, for Culver over the last couple of games. For the Bulls, how's Lauri Markkanen? Is he good again? Well, I'm not sure about that, but at least they gave him some shots. 21 points in 34 minutes. He hit 4 triples. Of course, he does nothing else. 6 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, no blocks. He just doesn't do it. That's simply this is who he is. But he still should be rostered, of course. While the big Unicornetto had 15 points in 18 minutes, 1-1, but still, 18 minutes is not enough for me to really give two shits about it in anything outside of deeper leagues. Levine, good, but that elite level production wasn't quite there here. 25-5 on some subpar percentages. While Chris Felizio actually started the second half over Cornette, 12-10 in 22 minutes. Thad Young's minutes are all over the shop. 6 points in 19 minutes here. He could have 29 in the next game, but there's not enough reliability for him. Well, I don't know what they're doing with Tomas Satoransky. He is not playing well, but they're also not playing him enough minutes. 2 points for Sato in 22 minutes. 5 assists. If you're desperate need of a roster spot, he's your worst player. Drop him. Because they've shown limited commitment to giving him the minutes. When they have, he's played well, and they have played well. Again, this is the old thumb head, and it is tough to get a grasp on Boylan and the common sense of what he does the majority of the time. And that is, I think, seeping into the play here of Satoransky, unfortunately. On to the next game, which was a blowout. The Indiana Pacers handling the Suns pretty comfortably, 112-87. Malcolm Brogdon had to leave this game early. He received a cut on the eye. They said they were evaluating him from concussion, but they don't think that is going to be the problem. But of course, it's just another game that Brogdon gets hurt in. Timothy John McConnell stepped up, 27 minutes, 10 points, 11 assists, and 3 steals. But in the past, it's been Aaron Holiday who's had that role. It wasn't in this game. He played only 19 minutes. Speaking of low minutes, Jeremy Lamb, 21 minutes, 2 of 9 shooting. Victor Oladipo's due back in a week. Just get him, get rid of Lamb. He's just done. He's not a 12-team league guy even now. Tony Warren Jr. did his thing, 25 points in 30 minutes, 61% shooting, fantastic. But he also added defensive numbers, 3 steals and a block for Warren, while Sabonis had 24 and 13, and Miles Turner did jack shit apart from the blocks, which is what is really saving him at this point. 9 points in 25 minutes, and he just does not coexist well with Domantas Sabonis, and I think that is pretty much getting close to being a fact at this point. But the Suns, just rough all around. Ayton had 10 points in 31 minutes. Oubre had 17 and 9, but he shot 31%. Rubio only the 23 minutes for 7 points, not his best night. McCall Bridges got 2 steals, and that's exactly the only reason why you roster him, is to get those steals, so he did that. Šarić did nothing. Just an absolute shit show of a game from Phoenix. Even Devin Booker just 16 points in 12 on 12 shots. Not a great night at all for anybody. We got 27 minutes of Ali Okobo, if that gives you any indication of what this game is like. Rubio did get some foul issues, but just a rough night in general for Phoenix, only scoring 87 points in total. Of course, the next game was the one that everybody's eyes were glued to. The San Antonio Spurs get the win over the Pelicans, 121-117. Aldridge was great here, 32-14 with 2 blocks. Really, really strong. Well, DeRozan, 20 points, 5 rebounds. Only the 1 assist, which had been up at the 8 or 9 zone. Not his best performance, but still really, really strong numbers. While Derek White, maximum Derek.
Maximum Derek.
Now, in the offseason, I said I think there's a real chance White is better than Murray. And I'll admit it, it looked pretty stupid to begin the season. But is White better than Murray? I think you can make that real argument. I honestly believe there's a... Look, he's played better than him over the last month or so, 3 weeks. Murray's struggling, only 24 minutes here. White played 27 and had 12, 4, and 7. I just like what White does in general more. Now, his upside is probably a lot more limited than what Murray's is, but this is just putting more clouds into the picture of which one of these guys is a rosterable player. It still probably is Murray in 12-teamers, but the last three games, it's clearly been White, and in 14 teams, I'd add him. Not much else to talk about. Paddy Mills played 24 minutes. Bryn Forbes went back to earth, 11 points in 24 minutes. Same sort of stuff from him. Jakob Poeltl is a block streamer. He streamed the blocks again. Two blocks for him in 13 minutes, but just not enough playing time to be a consistent guy. But let's talk about the big news. The Pelicans, Zion Williamson. Every dickhead in the world had an opinion. No, Zion, he's too fat. He's too fat. I don't want to hear any of that shit about him looking fat. Now, I'll tell you what he did look. He looked weird. Weird's not the right word. He looked like he was not sure where to be. He looked like he was a little bit out of confidence. He was rusty with the speed of the game early on. He was very deferential to his teammates, just got it and would pass it off. And there was a couple little flashes, but he just looked like a bloke who hadn't played in months and had never played an NBA game before. And then he went bananas. And he had like 13 points in about 90 seconds. He hit four threes in a row. He ended with 22 and 7, four threes and three assists in 18 minutes. And I would normally look at this and go, well, he's not going to shoot 73% every night. But didn't he shoot 73% across all of the preseason games? Didn't he have a ludicrously high field goal percentage in college? It's not going to be this good. But at some point, it just has to be, this guy's going to have high efficiency. That is a ridiculous performance, albeit most of it came in a two-minute stretch, but he lit the shit out of that place. Like, that place was rocking. I was pumped. I was yelling out here on the couch, yeah, let's go Zion. I probably didn't say exactly that, but it was craziness to see him just going down, pulling up, and banging him in. Now, it's not going to happen like that all the time. We're well aware. But I think he'll be fine. Hot take alert. He'll be fine. Derek Favors only the 23 minutes, but there was some foul trouble limiting him there. Still double-doubled, strong enough. While Lonzo Ball, 14, 8, and 12. I think he's going to love playing with Zion. I think he's going to be really good. The guy who took the biggest hit here was Jrue Holiday. 12 points, 4 assists in 35 minutes. The major thing, though, under 16% usage. That's the concern. It wasn't Ingram that lost the usage. He had 36%. He forgot how to shoot, apparently. 22 points on 27% shooting with 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal, and couldn't hit his free throws. Just a really off night, but it wasn't the usage distribution. It was Jrue that lost that. So I'd like to give it a couple more games to calibrate how all this shot distribution is going to work. Ingram will shoot better than this, but let's see how this pecking order goes. That's going to be interesting. Redick is a clear drop, 10 points in 22 minutes. Well, Jackson Hayes got 16 minutes and had 9 points, while Melly out of the rotation. Etwan Moore's minutes significantly reduced, as is Josh the Hitman Hart, who played just the 25 minutes in this one. And then on to the last game of the night, a real snoozer, not that anyone was really watching it all that intently with Zion going on in New Orleans. 129 Utah, 96 Golden State. Rudy Gobert's run, it just continues. And I talked about this on the Sell High podcast the other day. Maybe it was Sell High, I'm not sure which one it was. What he's doing, what is completely unsustainable about this? Like, he's that good at the moment. 22 and 15 with 3 blocks on 77% shooting. Now, 29 from the line is a bit rough, but otherwise really good. The Don Donovan Mitchell had 23 points, while Bojan Bogdanovic knocked in 18. Mike Conley continues to be pushed along slowly. 8 points in 19 minutes. I get that it's frustrating. I think we've got to give it another 3 or 4 games to see what happens. But if they keep him under 20 minutes a game for the next 3 or 4, then maybe you just move on. It's a little bit worrisome. Maybe they just go, well, he's going to be our 23-minute-a-night guy off the bench. That's a bit of a concern to me. I don't think it'll be the case, but it's taking a little bit too long here for those minutes to ramp up. O'Neal had 4 and 9, while Ingles had 11 and 8, but it's really hard to grasp too much out of this game considering how much it was. A 35-point blowout. D'Angelo Russell had 26, while the little dog Glenn Robinson had 10 points in 25 minutes. Amari Spellman, only the 15. He did score 12 points, but he's a drop now. Alec Burks, up and down, 7 points in 24 minutes. Damian Lee, I think he's a 10-team drop, probably a 12-team drop as well. It's just so middling, it's so inconsistent, it's so low upside that there's got to be someone else out there you can churn through that roster spot. While we did have Jacob Evans back in action after that concussion incident, and while Draymond played, he didn't do much, but when he plays, it means Eric Paschal doesn't do much. The Triangle just had 11 points in 26 minutes, and he, I believe, is significantly over-rostered in 12-team leagues as well. Let's look at some injury news now as well. Mason Plumlee is out for the next 2 to 4 weeks with a cuboid bone injury in his ankle. As I talked about in the Nuggets game, that's giving more opportunities to Jeremy Grant, making him a bit of a 12-team league guy. Dwight Powell confirmed that he has torn his Achilles, so he is out for the season. We talked about that on yesterday's show, so everything that we spoke about there was confirmed. Ante Zizic is out indefinitely with a vertigo type of issue. He had taken the backup center minutes away from John Henson, and now Henson will likely get those minutes back. Let's got to quickly address this because a lot of people are asking Yusuf Nurkic, because Damian Lillard said, oh, he practiced today, so everyone's really getting excited about Nurk. I just don't see him coming back, A, before the All-Star break. I think he comes back straight after the All-Star break, but I don't see him really ever getting to a stage where he played 27 minutes a game last year, 26 the year before that. That's not a high bar to get back to, and maybe he gets there by April, maybe. But Hassan Whiteside is doing okay, and this is a team that even if they do make the playoffs and get into the 8th seed, they're not really going anywhere from there, I don't believe. And I just think having a big man come back, we saw Paul George come back from his broken leg, didn't look great. Gordon Hayward for a whole season wasn't right last season. I don't think we're going to have, you know, tip-top Nurkic going here. We're going to have maybe a 24-24 split at best with Whiteside, and I don't think that'll necessarily be the case. Maybe Whiteside gets dealt. Who's taking him? Who's got the salaries to match? Who wants him? There are a lot of questions there involved. And I just don't think that it would be something that Portland would be doing. We're pushing Nurkic out there and, okay, well, now you're back and you're playing 27 a night in fantasy playoffs. Now, if you've got an open injured spot, I would much rather have Nurkic in that spot than John Wall, for example. I'd much rather have Steph over both of those guys in that situation. But you know, that's an option you could do. You could go and add Nurk and see what happens. But I wouldn't be dropping value to get him. And I just think, in general, majority of these cases, the hassle involved in it, the zeros, the top 200 production you get for a month is not worth the overall payout. That's my take on it. Rui Hachimura is back, just getting his game shape or his energy and endurance levels back after suffering that scrotal distortion, or however they wanted to describe it. Something happened to his nutsack. He looks like he could be back soon. Not a must-add 12-team league. I'm going to have a look how many blocks he's had for this entire season. It is, I wish I knew the number actually, because I know it's low. Let me look it up while I'm talking to you. But he is not a guy that is a must-roster guy. He did have that little stretch when Bryant and then Bertans were out where he really did push up and start playing a lot of minutes. But this team's basically healthy now. He probably goes back into a 28, 29-minute role where he provides 14 points and 6 rebounds, which is totally adequate, but more of a 14-team league sort of a situation. If I had a look at these numbers that I was just talking up, he has had 3 block shots for the entire season and 18 steals in 25 games and 40 assists. That is, Ryan Anderson would be super proud of those numbers. They are historically bad. Well, I won't say historically because I don't know if they're historically bad. He's also shooting 24% on threes. He has hit a total of 10 threes for the entire season. He is just not a very good fantasy player. Some other injury news to talk about. Now, Flamin Mo Wagner looks like he's doing some non-contact drills, so he's at least another week away there. His role is going to be pretty limited when he comes back. Marvin Bagley missed today's game with a foot injury, unfortunately, while Michael Porter Jr. really worries some stuff there with that back. Hopefully, it's nothing too long-term, but we're always going to have worries for a bloke that missed 2 years with a back injury. Joshy Richardson pinged his hammy today. You'd have to assume a couple of weeks off for him, while Paddy McCaw suffered a broken nose. He'll be reevaluated tomorrow. All he does is steal minutes in that rotation, so if he's out, it gives more minutes to the producing players. And then we also had Jason Tatum with a groin. They think it's not too bad. I think still he's going to miss a little bit of time here, while Malcolm Brogdon, they think he's pretty confident he didn't get a concussion, but he wasn't able to return to the game on Wednesday. So that, of course, is something for us to monitor. There is only the 3 games on Thursday. We're going to be looking at them from a FanDuel perspective. So let's do that right now. All right, the first game we look at, the Wizards and the Cavs. The Cavs are 1-point favorites here, and the total is 232, the two worst defenses in the NBA, matching up with each other. The Muppet John Henson has been upgraded to probable, while Onzes Pacechnik is questionable for the Wizards. Rui Hachimura also could be ready to go pretty soon, as I just mentioned. He's dealing with that scrotal issue, but he's unlikely to be ready here. Same with Flamin Mo Wagner. At point guard, Darius Garland's at 4,700. Hasn't really been at that level recently, but this matchup's super good, so I like him for tournaments only, while the Padawan Colin Sexton good cash floor value at 6,000. He looks okay at that price. Ish Smith's at 49, really bad on Tuesday, but prior to that he'd been playing well. I'd prefer him over an Isaiah Thomas at 3,800. Dante Exum, I wouldn't prefer anywhere. At shooting guard, Beals at 75, I really like that. Now, do they sit him on the back-to-back? That hasn't really been talked about, but I guess it's a possibility. Jordy McRae would be the real beneficiary there. He's at 5,000 and would become a must-roster guy in that scenario. Well, the big mitten, Gary Payton at 38, could also have some tournament value in that situation. Troy Brown's at 48, not even close to being worth that, while Chetty Osman and Isaac Bonga aren't moving the needle for me. At power forward, Davis Bertans is at 4,500. Hadn't really done anything until Tuesday's game in terms of since he returned from his quad injury. I don't love him as a DFS guy. I do like Kevin Love, though, at 7,000, which is a fantastic price. And Larry Nance at 42 has been over 25 the last couple of games. With Henson back, I worry a little bit how they manage those minutes. He played big minutes with Henson out. He played big minutes in a game that Thompson only played 24 minutes. We've yet to see a Henson in the lineup, a 33-minute for Nance and Love combined to see where, for Love and Thompson combined to see where Nance fits in. So that's my worry there with Larry and how they're going to use him. At center, Tristan Thompson's at 5,900. Yeah, I think he's okay. I don't love it for DFS, though. And Tom Bryan at 45, it's really, really tough to trust him at this point with how they're using him. Well, Younmi Hinmi at 5,000, actually putting up some pretty strong numbers of late. Could be someone to look at, but again, I just think we can do better at the center position than rely on Younmi Hinmi in the year 2020 AD. Next up, the Lakers and the Nets. The Lakers on a back-to-back here after beating the Knicks. Kyrie Irving has been upgraded to probable, as has Baby Neck Wilson Chandler, while Nick Claxton is doubtful and DeAndre Jordan is questionable. Now, if Jordan plays, it doesn't matter if Claxton's out, but if Jordan's out as well, then they've got a real issue at backup center. You're going to have to be running some Chandler or Prince at center lineups, which would really push Jarrett Allen into the mid to high 30s in playing time, as my voice completely deserts me. At point guard, Kyrie's at 8,700 going up against LeBron in this one. Even on the games where he's been bad, he's still been a 40-plus point guy, so I do like him at that sort of a salary. Well, Rondo's at 43, and I don't know why I even bothered mentioning him. At shooting guard, Dinwiddie's at 65, which is a decent enough price in a game with Kyrie playing. Still don't love him, but it's not bad. Well, LeVert had 30 points with Irving sitting out last time. He's at 4,600. I'm not super enthralled to get him in. Dan Green, KCP, Avery Bradley, God no. At small forward, Smokin' Joe Harris is a no. Torian Prince at 47. I actually think there's not bad GPP value, but it's still not good. LeBron at 10.7 is, though.
LeBron James.
I'm in on LeBron at that salary. At power forward, Tone Davis is at 10.5 again. Really strong 50-point potential in a great matchup. While Jarrett Allen at 5,700. If Jordan is out, that's a really, really good option there for Jarrett to get those minutes and to get the big numbers. At center, Dwight's at 5,200. Dwight's been a really good cash play, and this matchup is super, super good for him. I think he can be a 26, 27 point guy, which would absolutely return that value. I'd rather him over a McGee and a DeAndre Jordan if he does happen to play. The last game of the day, we've got the Dallas Mavericks and the Portland Trailblazers, of course. The Mavericks are going to be without Dwight Powell. Hassan Whiteside is probable for Portland with a groin issue, and McCollum is questionable after missing the last two with an ankle problem, and Trevor Ariza is set to make his debut for Portland. At point guard, Luka Doncic is at 11,200. Absolutely lock the shit out of that. Love it. While 9,300 for Damian Lillard looks pretty bloody good to me as well. Anthony Simons, 27 points last game. It was an overtime game, and he played 46 minutes to get there. So to say I don't really have massive faith in Simons getting to a $4,000 price point value mark would be an understatement. Seth Curry, maybe he gets a start in place of Powell. That's a possibility. Brunson could start. They could start Barea. But if I'm going to look at any of them as a GPP guy, it's going to be Curry. At shooting guard, McCollum's at 7,700. No thanks. I don't even know if he's playing. DeLon Wright's just not playing at all. While Gary Trent would be a GPP option if CJ happens to sit. While Dorian Finney-Smith at 4,400. Cash floor is strong without Powell. Upside is pretty limited. So I don't mind him for cash. While Ariza at 41, I'd like to see how things go with him first. Mallow at 62 is all right, but still probably a little bit too high. While Hardaway at 55 is only for tournaments. At your power forward spot, Maxi Kleber's at 48. It is a little bit high for Maxi. He's not a great DFS contributor. There is still some GPP value there, but it's not overwhelmingly good. Same with Porzingis at 84. That's a really high price for KP.
Porzingis.
The matchup's great for him, so I'd be interested in that regard, but really only for tournaments at this point. While at center, Hassan Whiteside.
The world!
9,600. I'm okay with it. 45, you should be able to get most nights. I really like Whiteside in this one. And Boban, 5,000. They've bumped his salary up too much for him to really be too much of an option. Let's now look over on DraftKings at some value prices there. I like Whiteside. I like Kyrie. I like Ariza at 35 on DraftKings as well. Ish Smith and Sexton, Beal, Doncic, Finney Smith, Davis, James, LeBron that is, Dwight Howard, Damian Lillard, Spencer Dinwiddie, having some value over on DraftKings. That'll do it for me today, guys. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at @LockedOnFantasyBasketball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Junior.